Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're not too cool for me. And in return, I reciprocate that sentiment. I'll never be too cool for you. I was a man with a plan, but now I'm a dad with a decree, and you can't take that from me. Please let it be noted that I told my job they can dock my pay. Right now, it's just too important to take you to school every day. I want to be legendary for you. I want you to puff out your chest when you go to school the same way I do. I walk taller because of you, because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mom was always very organized.
But my sister and I noticed she started to forget things.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
My sister and I were there for Mom and each other.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around.
AARP makes it easy. Go to aceyourretirement.org and chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. It's free and only takes 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Answer some questions and get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings.
Thanks.
Just head to aceyourretirement.org. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTechStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Let it slip, it cuff, it check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with the friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever! And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, rolling into the happier, happy hour. The Friday edition, we air the grievances. My grievance, a special counselor. I wanted to go straight to the indictments. I wanted to declare this Merrick Garland Day up in here. But anyways, going to get a better man than you to talk about it, Dom. We got our good friend, former U.S. Attorney James Santelli. He's joining us right now live via Zoom. He is also the host of his own big show. And you're going to want to tune in tomorrow morning as he goes inside Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Network, originating from the Shaw, W-A-U-K. Jim, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, man. You always move with alacrity, sir.
Hey, Jim.
You know, we do what we need to do, especially for an appearance on this important program. So glad to be with both of you.
Jim, first reaction. I know you had sent a first blush, and I've been talking about the fact this just seems like another unnecessary step in the process, a time-eating step in a process. And ultimately, if I understand, I'm only going by a column by Jennifer Rubin, but if the special counselor ultimately doesn't have ultimate charging decision, if the ultimate charging decision comes back to the attorney general, well, what are you asking your buddy? I mean, do you need to cheat off his homework, or can you just do your own work and get to the indictments already, Merrick Garland? Your thoughts, counselor.
Right. And perhaps in a way that harkens back to history once again, you know, we've been down this road before. And again, I begin by saying that I have great respect for this attorney general. At the same time, I was surprised to hear that for a couple of reasons, some of which have been articulated by my now former colleagues, also former U.S. attorneys under a prior administration, including a woman named Barbara McQuaid, a great friend and colleague of mine, who also said time is everything. And I think that's what is implicit, if not explicit, in your question, Mike, which is that we have now been focusing on this for nearly 2 years. We knew in the afternoon of January 6th that something horrific had happened. We didn't know all the dimensions of it, but we've been investigating this presumably in all its dimensions, or nearly all its dimensions, for 2 years. I am concerned that the insertion of a special counsel here, admittedly coming in the midst of an investigation, admittedly charged with doing this as quickly as possible, nonetheless, for the reasons you've identified and others have identified, may in fact slow this down when the calendar tells us the big story, which is January 2025. We don't know if this present administration will continue beyond then, but we basically have two years in which to prosecute. And to the extent that this may extend that time period for the review, the investigation, the prosecution memorandum, all of this gives me great pause about the timing of this and the possibility that it might be delayed in some way. Hopefully that won't be the case, but that is the concern I think that many of us have on the outside looking in.
Jim, you know I'm chock full of inarticulate crudeism, so far be it for me to split the infinitive with Dominic, but
there's one.
The impropriety, the statement that, you know, the appearance of impropriety has...
Avoiding even the appearance of impropriety, Jim.
But what impropriety has gone on to this point? There's always going to be accusations of political witch hunt. So this is bad vocabulary and someone taking the bait.
Right. And that's, I think, the much related concern that I think I and others have out there, which is just this. I know the Attorney General said because both Donald Trump has announced his candidacy and the incumbent has also indicated that he is going to run, that for that reason, it's appropriate for me to put this arm's length decision-making process at the arm's length and go down this road. Your point cannot be overstated, which is that's what the role of the Department of Justice is, to be an impartial investigator through the FBI, its other many agencies, to be impartial and apolitical when it comes to making these decisions. We ask this of U.S. attorneys and assistant U.S. attorneys every single day of every single week, 7 days a week, to make these judgment calls, many of which are not in the political arena. I get that. And yes, this is at the top of that list. But nonetheless, we do this all the time. And so this notion that somehow there is going to be this perceived wild perception of impropriety, yes, there will be the attacks. We've already seen them from Donald Trump arguing about this. If we go down that road and consistently say that anytime there's a politically related investigation and possible prosecution of a candidate, we can't be doing that without appointing a special counsel, then we're carving out a huge amount of responsibility that's never been there before with the Department of Justice. There are people who can do this work. They do it all the time. They're doing it now. And so once again, with due respect, I'm very concerned about the predicates for this, the timing of it. And again, we've got the functionality, if you will, to do this now. Go ahead with it.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Man, you know, I love you, Jim, but what? Carve out a big spot. I mean, this is a very specific case. I mean, right, we have an attorney general appointed by the current president who would be the presumable running opponent of the guy who just announced who's been being investigated. I mean, there's not very many pegs that'll fit in those holes, man. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a huge carve out, Jim.
Well, and to the extent that you're right, as I said, it's at the top of the list, certainly, because you are going to be making decisions premised upon, again, what the evidence shows.
Sure.
The point that I would make once again, that's the kind of thing the Department of Justice is required to do. And is should we be doing this in a situation where because every single pundit tonight and for the next several months is going to be talking about this, that's what drives the decision about how the process works. We've talked a lot on this very good broadcast about the importance of having a separation between the White House and the Department of Justice. I looked at this particular Department of Justice and I see Joe Biden consistently saying, I don't know what's going on over there, not in a bad way, but in a good way. And I think that again, this Department of Justice has established in its admittedly infancy, it's 2 years, has established a record that doesn't smack of the kind of political movement that you would otherwise anticipate. Gosh, the fact that we've spent all this time investigating suggests that there is a very meticulous, thoughtful way of addressing all of this. And so, yes, top of the list. But again, my own sense is that this is something that the Department of Justice can do. And again, I get back to this concept of time. I hope that this does not delay things.
Yeah. Jim, I think there's also, you know, there's the stink of the last Justice Department administration. I mean, Bill Barr certainly did not do all those things that you think that the current attorney general is doing, right? So given that, I think he needs to be the Department of Justice specifically, knowing what Garland inherited over there from Barr. This isn't for you or I. This certainly isn't for the mega. I mean, this is for the American people who don't want to see, and maybe not dialed in as much, and don't do this every day and care as much as we care, and lots of things to pull people's directions and priorities. Totally understandable.
Right.
But I can understand how they would be concerned, or the general population could be concerned, as I would be if I saw this. Oh my gosh, we don't want to see a Department of Justice prosecuting the former executive just for political reasons and because now he's running. Right? That's you got to be very careful about that. And given the from what I've heard of Mr. Jack Smith, sounds like he's dialed in, man. This guy sounds like a bulldog. And given all those circumstances, I mean, if we lose a week, maybe
it's more than a week. Tell him, Jim.
What do you think? How much time are you really thinking, given this guy's qualifications?
Right. I am really hesitant to speculate on that because I don't know about the extent to which things like, is he going to be bringing in some of his own colleagues and staff? Plainly, we recall when Mueller came in, assembled his own staff. We know that there's a significant amount of staff already inside the Department of Justice been working on this. If he walks in and maybe brings a few people in and otherwise has to get up to speed, it may be a matter of weeks. And so maybe my time concern is not quite as great under that circumstance. On the other hand, there is a sense in which we're, again, changing not bosses, but restructuring the way that we're supervising all of this. And that will take some time along the way. To your first point, again, I concur in that notion that the public should have confidence in whatever decision is made here. My concern is simply that this is about some civics instruction, once again, which we often do on this podcast, law school too, that again, this is the what we had in the last administration was the aberration and not the rule. Under prior Republican and Democratic administrations, you did not, with some small, I realize again, we've got Richard Nixon, Donald Trump is huge, huge problems. But for the most part, throughout our history, we have had departments of justice that have been independent, have made these good decisions along the way, and done so without the kind of public outrage that we saw in the last administration. And again, I think we need to get back to that normalcy, if you will. We've got a Department of Justice that people can trust and know that the chief executive is not picking up the phone and calling the attorney general and saying, what are you doing to prosecute my political enemies? We're living in the wake of that. So maybe this is plainly Merrick Garland's attempt to address that concern in the wake of history. We need to find a way to get back to normalcy when the Department of Justice can do this as a matter of course. That's its assignment. That's the rule of law assignment that every attorney general has.
Jim Santel, do you know Jack Smith?
I do not know. I've heard of him because, of course, his overseas engagement. And as Tom, as you just said, wow, incredibly well experienced here, truly knows what he's talking about. So no concern about that at all. And perhaps if there's anybody out there who can move in, he knows the Department of Justice, knows how prosecutions work, knows how investigations work. He can move in as swiftly as anybody more than anybody on the face of the planet can. So that's not the concern. It's just these other institutional issues that give me pause tonight.
Jim, would it be Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice seeking prosecution ultimately if this special counselor Jack Smith says there's there, it still goes right back to Merrick Garland, does it not?
It does. If we follow the pattern of the Mueller investigation, which is, again, if you will, a recommendation, ultimate charging authority, as you said a few moments ago, would still rest with the attorney general. And again, hopefully not extending that too much in terms of time. But it does, it accomplishes things positively, but also raises those other timing issues.
James Santel, I want it now. Come back with us. We'll do a little Veruca Salt and talk more with Jim Santel.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio Studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
It's the Mad City Bridal Expo, Sunday, November 20th at the DoubleTree Hotel on East Washington in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for free tickets at madcitybridalexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets also available at the door for just $10. Read all the details at madcitybridalexpo.com. Like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Bridal Expo, Sunday, November 20th at the DoubleTree in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 15 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for snow. Highs level off around 24. Lows dip down to about 7 above tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Be sure you check us out online on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dominic, I'm going on the road this week, and next you hear from me, I'll be broadcasting from glorious Avery, Wisconsin. WXCE Lake Air, baby. I'll be up there at our new facility. Jim Santel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, and of course, the host of Morning Cannolis every Saturday morning, 9, right up to the kickoff of the Badger game tomorrow morning at 11. Jim, you'll be the Badger pregame show as you recap. Gotta mention, Jim, what's the 12th headline on the Foxy News right now? If I look down 12 stories on the Foxy News Digital, their take on this special counselor is Trump says he won't partake in special counsel investigation. That is the 12th story on the page on Fox News. They're not exactly accentuating the special counsel appointment. Jim, I don't think Trump will be encouraged to partake in this prosecution so much as be a defendant thereof. What do you think, sir?
It is an odd infinitive to partake. I know that both you and Dom will sometimes partake of good foods and other things in the world, and that's a very positive thing to partake in something. But again, criminal investigation and criminal prosecution is not one of those kind of voluntary things that happen. Let's assume that the special counsel now is immediately taking responsibility for this investigation, getting his designation, getting his authorization to go forward. We'll be plainly working on a lot of information already assembled by government investigators, by colleagues with whom he'll be working. And again, all of that will proceed according to the way the Department of Justice normally works. Grand juries, plainly convened, already underway, summoning witnesses. It may well be that at some point, one of those grand juries will issue a grand jury subpoena for Donald Trump. It's done that in other circumstances. And under those circumstances, you've got an obligation to show up. What you testify about, you've got some privileges you can certainly invoke under the Constitution, other kinds of privileges. But the decision about whether or not this goes ahead and whether or not Donald Trump approves of it or not, that's not his to make. And in our system of justice and the rule of law, whatever the grand jury decides, whatever the special counsel may recommend in terms of presentation to the grand jury by the attorney general and others, that's a matter for the executive branch to decide. Can involve, if you will, some consultation with Mr. Trump's attorneys, but it is an executive decision to make. And that comes out ultimately from the voices of 26 people or members of the grand jury.
James Santel, our fine guest, host of Morning Cannolis, right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Jim, there's also a civil trial going on of the Trump Organization. And I want to turn my attention there. But before I do, Eric Trump, who, of course, is part of that organization, the old man said he would not partake. Eric Trump said the appointment of the special counselor, Jack Smith, is communism. Jim, do you agree with Eric Trump's astute assessment, question mark?
No, it's not, Eric. It's not communism. It is, frankly, if anything, it's just the opposite. It is the separation of powers that we have pursued for 240 years in this country. And it accomplishes, again, not without imperfections, but we deliver basically some rough forms of justice and sometimes some very refined forms of justice as well. This is not communism where a number of people make the decisions. What did I just describe? You've got decisions made by investigators, by prosecutors about how to pursue a case. You've got members of a grand jury who are members of a court entity. Remember, this is not the executive branch. You present this to a grand jury, a court entity. They make a determination about whether or not there is an investigative support, probable cause to find that there is a chargeable offense here. They return an indictment. Judges then review that, their motions, there are all sorts of hearings for suppression. And we ultimately go to a trial. We get a petit jury. I'm just going down the list of constitutional protections that are not true for the most part in communist nations that are a part of our not only tradition, but our practice here. So, Eric, regrettably, he's just plain wrong. Imagine that.
Jim, James Santel, I hope you're sticking around for at least one more segment. Good. We'll get to the civil stuff.
I was done, but go ahead.
Let me just throw this one out there. The special prosecutor is going to specifically focus on the Mar-a-Lago secret documents case and persons and entities involved in the attack on the Capitol and the certification of the electoral process. And and Garland specifically said that, you know, anybody who was physically on the ground and any other things that maybe not yet been charged will be taken care of by the local U.S. attorneys in D.C. Jim, is there anything to read into? What do you read into with the separation of these different prosecutions?
Right. So we know that there are something in excess of 900 people who've already been prosecuted by the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. We talked before about this huge resource draw that accomplishes. That will continue. And so it doesn't affect those people who have been the subjects of those. What he is doing is he is saying, let's focus now. And we also know we've got the Stuart Rhodeses and the Proud Boys, and the Oath Keepers. That's still going on. What he is saying, again, to his good credit, is saying, I'm assigning this special prosecutor responsibility for looking at the top of this. Let's look at the people who are responsible for putting this in place. On those other areas, those continue unaffected by this. Can there be consultation between them? Absolutely. They're all part of the Department of Justice. Yeah. That can happen. Will there be people who perhaps cooperate one to the other? Sure, if it's appropriate to do that. But he's dividing this up not only because it's right to do so, it ensures that this special counsel will have focus and will presumably direct his attention, that of his staff, on just these higher levels, and the others still go ahead.
Our fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney. Jim, the Wisconsin Capitol Rotunda is now graced by a gorgeous Christmas tree, and it's been my tradition to go decorate the tree. You want to join me, Jim? I think I got some ornaments left from last year.
It is the holiday spirit and period, both of those.
You know, all I want for Christmas this year is a Trump indictment, and we'll declare it Jack Smith Day. Every day is James Santel Day, at least when he comes around. And of course, Saturdays, because Morning Cannoli's on 9 to 11. You're going to listen tomorrow morning, but you're going to stick around because Jim's sticking around with us. More Devil's Advocates, more James Santel. The happier you're happy, I can tell.
We have top men working on it right now. We have top men working on it right now.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to ALZ.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Phones? Social media?
You've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
Learn more at Cheek and STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Friday Happier Happy Hour. We air the grievances up here. Our guest is not one of them. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel, our good friend. Jim is also the host of Morning Cannolis. Every Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m., right here on the Civic Media Network, you can tune him in and then catch the Badger game tomorrow at 11. Why don't you start with WFHR? That's sort of our Badger lead station, but you can hear it in Amory, you can hear it in Richland Center, and you can stream it all across the state. Jim Santel, thanks for sticking around. If I may, Dominic, I'd like to turn our attention back to the civil trial of the Trump book.
Yes.
All Jim, right. This, in any other circumstance, any other day where there wasn't a Friday news dump special counselor named, this would kind of be a big deal. The CFO has effectively testified the Trump family discovered the fact that he was cooking the books. Now, they'd been signing the checks the whole time, but they discovered, air quotes, when they were cleaning up the books after the old man won the presidency in 17. that he had been effectively cooking the books. They had written direct tuition payments to his grandkids' private school, up to $100,000 a year, private leases on Mercedes-Benz. All of that had apparently slipped their mind, Jim. But when they discovered it, when it was brought to their attention, not only was he not punished, he was not terminated, he was given a $200,000 a year annual raise. It's almost like they knew he was doing it and they were okay with it, Jim.
There's some great, fascinating intellectual and legal aspects coming out of Alan Weisselberg's testimony beyond his tears. And he does say along the way that he feels as if you let the corporation down, did not honor the trust placed in you, and embarrassed by what he did more than you can imagine. He says all those things. A couple of points about your good question. One is, it's very important for the prosecution here to have someone like that describe exactly what the corporation did. Again, remember, it's a corporation that's on trial here, and you always need to have somebody in a position of responsibility or authority, a CFO, that's what he was, and that he was and still is, as we also right. work every day, as does his deputy, apparently getting six-figure salary every day, which is also interesting. You've got to have somebody to come forward and say, this is what I did on behalf of the corporation. And so the case, I think, about against the corporation seems to get stronger every single day as he makes these admissions about what he did on behalf of the larger entity. At the same time, it certainly does open up the next, not only speculation, which the jury is not going to have in front of it. Donald Trump's name, the names of his children are not on this particular verdict. It is the Trump Corporation. But to the extent that there was knowledge, again, discovered at some point, and nothing is done about that, that can also be the source of a certainly civil prosecution, criminal prosecution, doing something not to remedy what you know is criminal behavior with your knowledge. Arguably may bring you into the conspiracy to do that, may make you complicit in it, you may be an aider and abettor, all those kinds of things can be implicated. So the testimony, significant in and of itself for this trial, but also revelatory about what the Trumps themselves were doing, and raises this other very difficult thing that Weisselberg is finding himself in the middle of, that is being honest, if you will, about what he did. And he's trying very hard not to implicate the Trumps. We'll see if the jury on this, buys all of that and chooses just to buy all this testimony that does implicate the corporation. It's a tough thing to do. And the defense has made use of this as well. They've scored some points on knowing that Weisselberg is trying to ride this right down the middle, not with complete success.
Well, they're seemingly... is the appearance of impropriety, Jim. I got to tell you. See what I did there? I got to tell you, my friend, I did read the reporting of the courthouse testimony given by Weisselberg, where he apparently tried to fall on his sword and said, no, they didn't know, although there seemingly is some perjurious contradictory testimony. But at one point he said, no, they didn't know I was doing this. That begs the question of me, Jim, then why is he getting a break? Then why is he getting a 5-month sentence if he has committed this major fraud? If he is the only complicit party, well, then who's he rolling up on? Why is he not doing the 15 years that the federal sentence would normally recommend?
Right. And you are certain to hear that from defense counsel in closing arguments. That is that, the information about his pleading guilty. Why are you here, Mr. Weisselberg? Well, I'm testifying again on a government subpoena. Have you entered into an agreement? Absolutely. I pled guilty to 15 counts. This is the anticipated sentence I'm going to get. Is that the kind of stuff the jury takes a look at and says, gee, is this guy credible? What's going on here? And wonders more generally, and this is what we always had to deal with as criminal prosecutors on behalf of the government, what is the larger story here? And again, juries are instructed to focus on the facts of a particular case. But to the extent that they're wondering about this particular fellow, here's the argument from the defense, getting a deal with a capital D. For that, is he testifying in a way that he wouldn't otherwise testify because he's bargained away his own liability, his own culpability in exchange, again, for a lesser sentence here? That's something the jury can, in fact, consider in determining whether or not there is a conviction, rather, of this corporation. And so all those kinds of things, and the defense counsel is going to raise exactly, Mike, what you just articulated.
Jim Santel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, I'd like to think. Jim, I'm sorry. I had a insurrectionist guy just taped something on the window here. I got momentarily distracted. I'll remember my point in a minute, but you're up.
I got one for you, Jim. Given the circumstances, and I think Crudy makes a good point, I'm not clear that the testimony provided by Weisselberg is worth the break he's getting. I'm not clear yet. But that being said, if Weisselberg got on the stand and said, Donald Trump ordered the code red, all the kids made me do it, right? If he had said that, well, certainly the jury, I mean, who does something with that information? Where would that information go? If sure. Weisselberg testified as we would like him to, what would happen at that point then? Because they're still focusing on the Trump Corporation. What would happen to that information?
Absolutely. That would be, again, I like to think that might even be a higher headline today than would be the appointment of special counsel, right? And the Department of Justice matters. So a couple of things. One is, if that were to happen, and it is not, and again, he's trying to do this very, very down the middle of the road approach on things. He is under oath. He's provided sworn testimony. And you better believe that Donald Trump and his children then would be in very big trouble. I would assume that the DA would then turn around at some point, present this to a New York grand jury to present that evidence, which gets to my first point, which is, if that was going to happen, you would have heard about that already. The prosecutors plainly have spent a lot of time with Weisselberg, talking with him. I'm sure they have had the same gnashing of teeth that we're talking about right now about how he's going to say these things to try to implicate himself, but not throw the Trumps under the bus, so to speak. If he had said that during the course of the pretrial matters, post-plea agreement, that's exactly what the DA was hoping, again, right months ago when we talked about this, that he would flip, if you will, which is the word for testifying against people who are in higher positions. That's what the overall plan was when Cy Vance was in that office. That plainly hasn't happened. And so the prosecutors go ahead with this trial. But still, if tomorrow or the next day there is testimony that it turns all this on its head and he suddenly says, you know what, I'm going to implicate all my former and present bosses, that can be used in a future prosecution, not this one.
Right. Okay.
Charge. You don't add it on, but that could be used in a future prosecution. And again, wouldn't that be an interesting legal development in the history of America?
Jim, as you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. Weisselberg's already pled guilty to the criminal charges, but the evidence in a civil trial, it's a different standard, if I understand it properly, Counselor. Preponderance of evidence. Do you think there is a probability based on this lower standard that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law?
Right. So this, again, lots of things going on in New York City. Obviously, got Letitia James. She's doing the civil case, right, that has to do with valuations of properties. This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood. I apologize.
It is, yes.
Normally, I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right. And so it raises a very good point, which is that you can, in fact, and they've done this, they've indicted a corporation criminally. And so, again, the question is, what do you do? Well, you can't throw a corporation in jail. So there could be some significant fines here. And so that could certainly happen. And again, the Letitia James, that's the somewhat related, but a little bit different civil case. She doesn't have that prerogative. And there, of course, we also have just this past week, the appointment of this special monitor. Following all this, with respect to the Trump properties, all of what you just said is completely applicable to that case. And we've got another person there, I would say, very appropriate to appoint someone who's going to handle the day-to-day operation of the Trump companies on transactions, monetary stuff, movements of real estate. That's the kind of thing the judge can't do. A monitor now in place, again, over the strong objection of
Jim, would it be fair to assume that the monitor, the special monitor on the Trump properties, which is a different corporation than the ones on trial right. criminally, right? Many corporations are Trump entities, that special monitor would be disinclined to acquiesce to a referral or to pay out, tuition for the grandkids. Is that something that the special monitor will not do?
Absolutely. So this person, again, independent. Supposed to make certain that none of the transactions are in any way suspect. no big changes in structure, nothing new, nothing different, and certainly no criminal activity of any kind. This is to maintain things in place for that day, if it comes, when there's a civil judgment entered, so that the Trump companies, there's still a there, and maybe some judgment can be taken against them, some recovery of monies. In the meantime, what Letitia James, she's asking for $250 million in that. He's asking the Trumps to be taken out of any future corporations in New York State, that all that can be preserved and nothing weird not happens while all this is pending, both the criminal case and the civil case, both. Lots and lots of things going on in New York City.
Jim Santel, for just a few more minutes, although I got to wonder aloud, who's going to sign the checks to pay off the porn stars that the old man doesn't have sex with in the future? Before you ponder that, Jim, we got another good friend live via phone. She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. You know, we got a couple of big legal big shots here. Maggie,
yeah, man, I love Fridays, man.
I like to think I'm the smartest one in the room, but I know better right now between you and Jim. You were in the room when the Enron depositions went down. You've got sort of a unique insight to corporations charged criminally, do you not, Maggie Dawn?
Oh, for sure. Now, of course, my participation was on the civil side in the multi-district class action, but the criminal prosecutions had led in those cases, and then the civil, those massive pieces of litigation followed. And certainly, it will be instructive to see what happens and how the jury reacts to Alan Weisselberg's testimony. I don't find the contrite act to be persuasive when you basically completely exonerate the people that are in control of the business. That's just not how businesses are run. That is not who Donald Trump is. That's not who his family is. It's plausibly, it's on its face, it's simply implausible. But I did want to call you guys and also get some of Jim's thoughts on this. I do not think in any way, shape, or form a special prosecutor was needed. But the reason it wasn't needed is that Democrats and Democratically appointed attorneys general, and with a Democrat in the White House, the Department of Justice will behave as it should. We know that that didn't happen with Donald Trump and Bill Barr at the helm. We know that political prosecutions were, in fact, pursued. That includes a number of, that also included basically replacing U.S. attorneys that were not compliant with Bill Barr's directives. So I think the reason, one of the key reasons could be, if you look at a candidate, not just Trump, but someone like Ron DeSantis, who has gone about removing district attorneys in his state. And what did the Republicans just here in Wisconsin announce that they have the power to do here? Which is remove judges, impeach various public servants. So the concern about how the Department of Justice would be governed effectively, despite what the norm should be, I think is maybe one of the, if not the motivating concern.
Maggie Dawn, hold that thought. We'll have you stick around. Jim Santel, thank you so much, man. We'll let you get ready for Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Listen for Jim in the Morning.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 15 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow. Highs level off around 24. Lows level off around 7 above tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, you can hit us up with CJ. You're going to have to wait till Monday, man.
CJ, because I wouldn't take the entirety of your troll call, CJ showed up here at the Devil Radio Studios in Madison. And of course, he's not ever going to get in the door here. I'm not letting that guy in. So he taped on my glass window here, Dom, a little missive question for the Devils from their number one t-shirt winner. CJ swears to this day he was the very first guy that ever got a Devil's Advocates t-shirt. So, I mean, the Republicans have known we were a target since way back, Dom.
And CJ, for the record, number one, if you have it, please wear it. And does it still fit? And send us a picture. That way we'll know.
Here is what his message is. Tag board, he's got to have 5 minutes and, you know, like 45 cents in this message, Dom.
Well, plus the drive time.
If you care about justice accountability, why doesn't A.G. Garland and the Devils and Centel and Flynn care about the big guy bought and paid for by China? And then he has a few other little messages here. Matt Flynn's motto was a lie. Dueling tangents, chickens. Tom Hartman can't defend his argument. And with love, God bless, America's number one, CJ. I wish our friend Maggie Dawn were here in studio with us. She's on the phone. Let's go to her. Maggie, CJ sends his love.
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for calling in.
I love notes like taped in studio windows. It sort of looks like a very disturbed stream of consciousness.
At least he didn't cut it out of magazines. It's not like a ransom note.
Yeah, right. Seriously. That would take way too long.
And he doesn't read, so he doesn't have magazines. So
yeah, avoid that print media. The online stuff is much, much more reliable.
How you been, sister?
I'm good. Struggling with a little bit of a cold. It was certainly a big couple of week and a half here in Milwaukee County with the election. And we just finalized a budget yesterday. So really, really proud of that work and glad to be through this big push in the beginning of November.
Maggie Dawn, we're always proud of your hard work. We'd be more proud if you'd do a radio show for us to get around here. Come on, sister. What's it going to take? Now that we got you on the air, can we cajole you?
You may just be able to do that, Mike, because this is about to be an incredibly important 2 years leading up to 2024, no doubt. And that indeed was the root of sort of my moment of equipoise about the appointment of a special prosecutor. And that is, Republicans have shown an utter loss of any moral center when it comes to using the tools of government to effectively persecute and prosecute, right, they're political enemies, and it is gaslighting. That's what Donald Trump claims, and it's not a persecution if you actually did these things. If you actually committed the crimes, you're not being persecuted. You're being appropriately prosecuted, sir, right? And that's the difference here. So, you know, we've seen many of these U.S. attorneys come out since exiting the Trump administration. I believe the last gentleman that wrote a book on this very subject, his name is Berman, out of the Southern District of New York refused to step down under pressure from Bill Barr because he knew effectively the patsy that Bill Barr wanted to put in place to stymie the investigations of the Trump Organization that were occurring in the Southern District. So we know that this happened under Trump, and I don't think Ron DeSantis gives us any reason to think he would not do similarly. And so I think observing what happens with the Republican Congress right now on the House side, they're not interested in observing norms, right? They just want to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop, right? That is it. They want to talk about what I like to call non-issue distractions, invented things, to try to slow down the work of Congress while simultaneously doing absolutely nothing to address inflation or any of the environmental concerns.
Any of the things they ran on, quote-unquote, Maggie.
Correct, my friend. So I understand why Garland took this step. In other words, if we do this now, if a Republican gets into the White House in 24, you know, again, their hypocrisy knows no bounds, but at least there would be a standard marker there. And I think most people could understand that pretty simply. But we shall see. I agree with Jim wholeheartedly that this should not slow down the prosecutorial and investigatory process with respect to the Mar-a-Lago documents, as well as Donald J. Trump's direct involvement in the phone calls. And the phone calls that he made in those 3 hours and what, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes? Like, what was the guy doing in the dining room? We know what.
Right.
It should not.
Maggie.
But, Maggie, is there, I think there's a probability that this additional step, this special counsel, will slow down this process. I don't think it's going to speed it up. Am I wrong in some way? I mean, when you add a whole nother character and a whole nother chapter, it's not going to make it go faster.
There's no way it makes it go faster. The question becomes, how much does it slow it down? Right? So, you know, I share Jim's concern about that. That's why my initial reaction is, why is he doing this? This is completely unnecessary. I would think by this time, and Jim alluded to this, they've been investigating for over 2 years. I would think they have a fairly tight mastery of the facts right now, and either those facts bear out the basis for criminal prosecution or they don't. And again, I agree with Dominic that this isn't precedent setting because we probably won't see this again, but that doesn't prevent folks from attempting to assert these kinds of arguments to avoid prosecution. And of any crimes that we should be looking at and prosecuting vigorously, crimes committed that target our political systems and processes, that attempt to place the rich and powerful above the law, should be the crimes of the highest priority. Our justice system has misallocated its resources to target all kinds of, frankly, misdemeanor-ish crimes that don't strike at the heart both the sanctity of our democratic system and our overall societal safety levels, right? And these are the sorts of crimes that all attention should be given. So I hope they throw as many people at this as they need to try to keep the pace up here and avoid getting into the situation where you might have a potential sitting president and a DOJ that has to withhold charges because of that.
Maggie Dawn, I can give you 30 seconds for your grievance of the day, sister.
Oh, my grievance of the day.
Yeah, 30 seconds, don't forget.
The Wisconsin Republicans now making hay about the fact that they can impeach and remove judges and district attorneys. It's a dark day when that occurs.
Maggie, always a great day when you join us here on the Devil's Advocate.
Thanks, Maggie. I'll be at the coin in 10 minutes.
Sounds good, guys. Y'all take care.
Maggie, have a wonderful weekend. Too. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, including our fine guest, James Santel. He goes live tomorrow morning, 9 to 11. Tune in on the Civic Media app. Then Badgers kick off at 11. They're going to beat the Cornhuskers. I guess I owe you 20 clams.
That's all right, man. Don't worry about it.
Good luck collecting them.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend, Native Roots Radio. Then Heapman Brothers going out in Madison, giving you all the Packer recap of a sad loss, brutal loss to the Titans.
Glorious clams.
That's a great idea.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.